You'll be turning this morning to two passages of Scripture. We'll read in those two verses. The first one is in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and also, well, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Philippians chapter 3. When you find your place there, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. It's nothing to do with the preacher, everything to do with the reverence of the Holy Word of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as, or in the same way, I also am of Christ." Now, Paul repeats this statement a little differently in his letter to the Philippian church. And in chapter 3 of Philippians, in verse 17, he says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." An ensample. Father, we bow before you. We're asking you to take absolute, complete charge of everything that goes on in this service. We certainly pray for the children at the other end of this facility. Pray your blessing and your help for them. But right here in this room, Father, pray you deal with hearts, every life, and where it's at with you. Thank you, Father, for the good songs of Zion, to be able to sing songs that say something about you, have meaning and truth in them. And Lord, it's our desire to preach the truth today, that in every way, your word would be declared with liberty, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and then we would indeed go from this place having had you do a work in every one of our hearts. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, bless for your glory. For of course it is in that beautiful, powerful name that we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, how do we recognize the good guys in these days? I remember as the old time Westerns, this isn't so much the case anymore, but in the old time Westerns, the good guys, they always wore what color hat? A white hat. I don't know, as I remember John Wayne ever wearing a black hat. There may be a scene where somewhere, but I don't ever remember it. The hero, if we can call him that, the hero of the story, he'd never tell a lie. He'd never cheat his partner. He would always stick up for a lady. He was essentially, quote unquote, a good guy. There was a time, beloved, that a hero was what we called a hero. A hero. The dictionary definition of that word. You want to hear it? Well, I hope you do, because you're going to. The dictionary definition of the word hero is someone who is admired, who is idealized for courage, outstanding achievement, or get this, noble qualities. Noble qualities. I thought that was a pretty decent definition. The very word manifested something, did it not? It manifested something about that person. It produced a particular, a specific picture in our minds. Well, who are the heroes of our day? It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. What, and excuse me for saying this, what the media and so many are trying to tell us are the heroes. Are the heroes. Wow. Much of that media is telling us that rioters and looters are brave and idealistic. People that malign and dishonor our nation, our national anthem. Well, they're heroes. They're idealistic. Well, I concede, I understand this white hair is a giveaway. I understand that I'm of ancient of days. I'm an old man. But that's not the picture of a hero that I grew up with. Not the picture of a hero that my dear father instilled in his sons. Oh God, my Lord, please help us. Yes. We're hurting today, beloved. We're hurting for heroes. We're hurting for folks that we can do, as Paul says, take note of. Where can we find a hero? Where do we point our young people to today? These are heroes. Long before I was in the ministry, long before I was a pastor, my children, my daughters, you know, we tried to raise them with a mindset to admire preachers and evangelists, missionaries. Every opportunity we had, we would have a visiting preacher or a missionary in our home to have. If our church was having a preacher in town, I'd volunteer my dear wife to cook supper for them and have them. I wanted my kids around real heroes. Heroes of the faith. Heroes that knew God. Who do we hold up for our children? Well, we're going to deal with the obvious answer and try to build on that today. And, of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to choose to follow, emulate, imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder in this 21st century, how many children are raised with Jesus Christ? And I don't want to say this disrespectful of him at all, but being raised with Jesus Christ as their hero, one they can admire, one that is certainly noble and courageous. Amen. My, I wonder how many in this 21st century ever even hear a Bible story about him. That number is getting bigger and bigger, beloved. I want us to look, and I didn't know how exactly to word this point, but look first here under this matter of choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that the tragic opinion of him in our day, the tragic opinion about Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God in his humanity, was the greatest man to ever walk this earth planet. Amen. Period. I think you agree with that statement. But even he has been brought down. Being brought down in our day. Oh my. This lost world we live in, and many in it are trying to lower him down to something far less than he is. Just so we're clear, I'll look at him from what the Bible says. What the Bible says in a moment. But in this day, some say, well, you know, Jesus was just a quote-unquote good man. He was a good man. And it's so sad that he could have done so much more if he wouldn't have died. People just didn't understand him. Some say that even worse than that, that he was just another man. Just another man. They take away his deity, his greatness, his authority, beloved. The cults strip him of his divine royal crown. Some say he was a revolutionary. And they try to use the Lord Jesus Christ to justify the garbage that is going on in American society today. They say, well, Jesus did this and that. No, beloved. The claim is that he was attempting to lead a revolt against Rome. I've heard him say it. Did he really? Where do they read that in the Bible? But they're trying to rewrite the Word of God. If they took the time to actually read the Bible. Drives me crazy when politicians try to quote the Bible. I don't care what party they come from. There's a few of them I believe know God. Drives me nuts. They have no clue what they're talking about. One of our previous presidents talked about the theology book of the New Testament, the book of Romans, as an obscure book in the New Testament. Are you kidding me? What does it reveal? It reveals an ignorance of the Word of God. All Scripture, by the way, all Scripture is what? Given by inspiration of God. He wasn't just another revolutionary. He was the Son of God. Remember, on the night of his arrest, he stopped his own followers of what? Violence. No, he wasn't a revolutionary. And indeed, we understand that his message was a revolutionary message. It was a message in stark contrast to the dead orthodoxy of its day. It was the living Word of God about himself, the one sent to be our Savior, our Deliverer. Oh, no, he wasn't just a revolutionary. But, and I know I've kind of painted a dark picture there, but stick with me. Because, secondly, we also see there's a terrific opportunity for us. There's a terrific opportunity for us to represent Jesus and magnify him. We as Christians have the opportunity and, beloved, the privilege to hold up Jesus Christ. Amen. In this dear world that we live in. We have the privilege to hold him up for what he is, truly is, for who he truly is. We can still show Jesus to this lost world. To this lost world. And just so we're clear on what we believe around here, let's look at a few things that the Bible tells us about him. That the Bible tells us about him. The Bible tells us, and we'll start at the top. The Bible tells us that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
He is the Son of God. In John 3:16, probably one of the very first Bible verses you memorize. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What's that? The word only begotten is very special. It means he is the only born one. Even beyond that, it has the idea that he's the only one of his kind.
Wow.
Not another.
Yes, sir.
Like him. He is the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God.
Amen.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
Now, just so we're clear, there is a group called themselves, I don't even like to use their name, the JWs. They like to say that Jesus is not God. Just so we're clear on that verse, they can't rewrite it. Well, they can rewrite it, but they're liars.
That's right.
The Greek that our Bible was translated from says this: Theos, me, Otheon, or Logos. Excuse me, I said it wrong. What does that mean? God. Listen, God was the Word.
Right.
Now, it means the same either way. The Word was God. But the Greek is very specific. God was the Word. Speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. He's the Son of God. And as we mentioned already, He is the Savior of man. Jesus Himself declared, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to be our Savior, to deliver us from our sin, to lay down His life, to shed His blood, to pay that price of our redemption. Jesus is the Savior of lost man. But then just so we're also clear about who the boss is around here, He is the head of His church.
That's right.
Maybe specific. He's the head of this church.
Amen.
He's the boss. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Apostle Paul's writing to a local church. So important in this day where everybody wants to think we're all part of the church, some universal thing. No. Paul wrote to churches. He wrote to pastors of churches. John wrote to the seven churches of Asia. Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. Again, that's another topic for another day. Jesus is the head of the church. In Ephesians 1, verse 22, it says this. Paul saying, and hath put all things under His feet. Speaking of Jesus. Under His feet. And gave Him to be head over all things to the church. To the church. Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church.
Right.
His church. But also, very precious. Jesus is God. We've already said that. Jesus is Savior. He's the head. But I'm so thankful to be able to report that Jesus is a caring God. He cares. He's a compassionate God. He said, what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will restore you. He's a caring God. He invites us to come to Him. To come to Him. He's a caring God. And just so we understand as well that He's God, but He's also the God-man. He was every bit God, every bit man. Yes. In Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 2, it says this. We'll read there. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning to read there in verse 9. You know, I'm thankful that you need a Bible at Metropolitan Baptist Church. We're gonna look at the Bible around here. And we're going to see what it doesn't matter what Jim Turner thinks, by the way. Do my best to expose the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? In Hebrews chapter 2, let's listen to that. There, Paul's writing and he says in verse 9, I love this, listen to these words, but we see Jesus. Isn't that great? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That doesn't mean He's less than the angels. It means in that form of the flesh, He took on that which He could identify with us as you follow. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause, now listen to this, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Isn't that amazing? This one who laid aside the robes of His glory, that manifestation of His glory, and became flesh and blood. For what reason? To identify with us. So that He, as we'll go on, could identify with men and women of flesh and blood. Oh, yes. He identifies, beloved, with our need. Later in that same chapter, in verse 17, it says this, Hebrews 2 and verse 17, says, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him. Now, don't get shook up by, you know, there's a handful of words in the King James Bible that you need to do a little studying on. But you know what? They've rated the King James Bible. It's easier to read than the newspaper. Everybody said, I can't read that by. I can't understand that by. Well, you need your dictionary more to read the daily paper. Of course, I don't know how many of y'all read the daily paper anymore. In all things, it behooved him. This is what it means. It's something he had to do. That this is something he had to do to be made like unto his brethren. That's you, to be made like you and I, to be made like us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation, to make peace for the sins of the people, of his people. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He identifies with our need. He knows us, beloved. He knows us. He understands because he identified with us in our flesh and blood. In our flesh and blood. He understands our need. And in that as well, because he understands us, it makes it possible for him to intercede for us. He knows what our situation is. He knows what we go through and deal with. It enabled him then to intercede for us before his Father. And again, in Hebrews, in chapter 7, verse 25, it says what? He ever liveth to make intercession for them. What's Jesus? What's that mean? That means that right now in glory, Jesus is interceding for us, praying for us. He's a God that cares. He's a God that cares. Yes. Jesus is the one person of all human history that can legitimately, without any reservation whatsoever, be looked to. And again, I use the word advisedly, a hero. A hero figure. He can be followed and admired without any reservation. Certainly, when you come to the end of your days, not only will there be no reservation, there'll be no regrets. Oh, the only regret will be where we failed him. Where we failed to follow him as we should have. Yes. We need, beloved, to take this a step farther, though. We've tried to lay out who this one is that we can truly look to, that we can choose to follow. And we understand that we come into that relationship of following him through faith, right? By grace. Are you saved? Through faith. Not yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works. It's not of any of our doing. But of his word. But of grace. We can choose to follow him. But I want us to go a step farther in this. Beloved, our children, these young people in this auditorium, our churches as a whole, beloved, every single one of us, including the man standing behind this desk, needs role models. We need role models in our lives that show us, that reveal to us Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul has spoken to us about. Beloved, I want to be able to point our children, our grandchildren, to individuals that they can follow. Individuals that they can mark out in their lives and look to as an example. Men, fathers here today, might we commit that by the power of God, not in our strength, because we're failures. Oh, how dare you call me? All have sinned and come short. We're all failures. We miss the mark. We understand that, I think. But might we commit by the power of God that we'll do all that we can. Be mindful of what Paul said to the Philippians. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, beloved, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do all that we can to be, number one, those who do follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul's words. The Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, what did he say? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be followers of me, even as, or in the same way as I am of Christ. Paul's desire, his longing, was to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that others could look at him, at Paul, and see Jesus. That they could look at the Apostle Paul and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, I've heard this. Some would argue that, oh no, preacher, that's not, we need to look to Jesus, not man. Well, I guess Paul was wrong then. I guess Paul missed it on that one. Well, of course, we understand, right? By all means, we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ regardless. We understand that every man walking this earth planet in these bodies of flesh and blood are going to falter along the way. We are going to fail. But with that said, we need to do everything we can to commit our hearts, our lives, to be an example to others, especially of our young people, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as we read there in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, there, Paul makes a very interesting statement directly to our point. He says, brethren, and when he uses that word brethren, it means he's talking to Christians. He's talking to the believers there in the church at Philippi. He's talking to this church, to us here today. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example, for an example. Pretty clear, isn't it? Mark those that you can follow. Mark them. And on the other side of that, leaders, starting with fathers, but leaders, spiritual leaders, need to accept that responsibility. Whether we want to step up to that plate, we need to accept the responsibility, beloved. Leaders need. Those words, follow me, they have the idea of be an imitator of me. Isn't that interesting? Paul's challenging the folks there in Philippi, imitate my life. Whoa. That's quite a statement, isn't it? It's quite a challenge. Now, Paul wasn't boasting. He wasn't bragging about himself. He made it clear to the Corinthians, follow me even as I also follow Christ. But pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and of course, fathers, if you cannot say that, be you an imitator of me, follow me, then you should not hold yourself up as a leader. And that starts right here too. Leaders need to accept this responsibility. And we also see here that believers, Christians, need to search out. They need to mark their leaders. Christian leaders, spiritual leaders. It's interesting, that word mark there has the idea to watch. To to watch. Look for folks that what? Manifest Jesus. That emulate, they imitate Jesus in their life. So Paul's challenge to me is, it's his challenge to you. Look for those. And when you find one, mark them. Huh? You probably did the same thing I did, 45 years ago when I was saved. And that local church, it was actually Marcia and I, when we got saved and were baptized, we became members. We joined the First Baptist Church of Howland, Ohio. Way back. And I remember in that, it was a big church. It ran about 500 or so in those days. Eventually, it was running over 1,000 on Sunday morning. And there was a lot of fellows in that church. But I remember, man, I was literally dumber. I wasn't even as smart as the box that was full of rocks. I wasn't as smart as the rocks in the box. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Nothing. Zero. And I was starving. I wanted to learn. I mean, when God saved me, He saved something in me. He put something in me that wanted to learn. Huh? I wanted to know about this God that saved me. And I remember watching, and I could name you some men right now still after all these years. I'm not going to do it because you wouldn't have known a one of them. Huh? But I remember those men. I marked them. And they became those examples in my life. Amen. I know Marcia could tell you this, and you could probably say the same thing about individuals, Christians, in your life from those early days. But even later, after I went into the ministry, again, oh my, I was so green. I was as green as Daniel's tie. When I went into the ministry, that's pretty green. I'm jealous. Just want you to know. And I was green. I didn't know nothing about nothing when it came to pastoring either. And you know, I could teach some Bible and preach some, but I didn't know what it was. But there were some men, some pastors, some leaders. Man, I started cozying up to them. I'd call them on the phone. What do I do? What do I do when this is going on? And I don't know what to do. You know what? The ones that were worth following, you know what they said first things out of their mouth? Pray about it. I thought, man, I just wanted you to tell me what to do. You had to get spiritual? No. Mark them. Mark those men, those individuals that manifest the life, that display the character, the integrity, the heart, the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Well, how about some qualifications? We've been talking about that already, but how about some qualifications for those men? Obviously, the standard's Jesus. Amen. They should be those that are very easily recognize that they are followers of Jesus. You can tell by their life. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this. Says a lot about him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, there's a double meaning to that. Now, obviously, we understand that it's Christ that gave us life. We found life in him. But also, the other side of that is that he is our life. Christ is to be our life.
Amen.
Now, we all have interests and things we enjoy and do and all that, hobbies and... But when you strip all that away, it's about Jesus.
Right.
And all those other things that we enjoy and do, they all got to fall prostrate before Him.
Amen.
All in submission and subjection to our heart and love for Him. Look for those who follow Jesus as church leaders, beloved, as dads, as husbands. Now listen to this. Can we ask our families to follow us if we are not following Jesus? I have no right to do that. Call myself a Christian and be other things more important than Christ in my life? The things of God? To be first. To be first. They should follow Christ. Secondly, then as we close, they should manifest Jesus Christ. When the things we see in them should be the things that we read about in the Gospels concerning Jesus. And according to Paul's letter to the Roman church, in that letter to that church at Rome in chapter 8 and verse 29, if you're mindful, we won't turn to it. It says that God is... It says there that God is in the process of conforming us into the image of His Son. He's using that divine hammer and chisel on us. And what's the final goal? To make us look like His Son. It would look like Him. I love it. It's beautiful. Anyone who claims to be or even aspires to be leaders in this church, and again, starting right here behind this holy desk, we need to ask themselves that question. Can people see Jesus in me? Can people see Jesus in us? Is His mark, is His imprint on us? His love, beloved. His love. His compassion. He cared. He cared about people. His holiness. People don't like to talk about holiness in these days. His holiness should be the holiness of Jesus Christ should be manifested in our lives. You will say, you're just a man, preacher. Oh, you're not telling me anything I don't know. Creature of flesh and blood. But again, as we say so often, should be our longing, our desire to, as best as a saved sinner can, be holy. Peter, quoting from the book of Leviticus, said those very things, didn't he? Quoting God in 1 Peter, he said, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Again, what's it? Be like Jesus. Be like Him. His love, His compassion, His holiness, His truth, beloved. Truth should mark our lives. Truth should mark our lives. Again, as best we can possibly do, commit with everything that we are, that nothing but the truth would cross these lips. Now, forgive me, maybe I need to make this statement. Can we be mistaken? Can we have bad information? Well, sure. Well, preacher, you lied to me. You said it wasn't going to rain today. Give me a break. No, you understand what I mean. As best we can, that we will be people of the truth. And of course, we understand that Jesus is what? The truth personified. His love, His compassion, His holiness, His truth, and His passion. His passion for souls. lot of time on Mother's Day or Father's Day, we'll talk about those children that made the greatest distance to be with their parent that day. That's fun. That's good. The greatest distance ever traveled was when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left his place at the right hand of his Father and came to this earth planet to die for us. Huh? That's a patient for souls. This side of heaven, we understand, we'll never fulfill this picture perfectly, this image perfectly. But every single day we should begin with the desire, that striving within us to be as best we can as creatures of flesh, like Jesus. Like Jesus. And may I say this, don't ever get satisfied with where you are. I think we get complacent. Isn't that possible? We get complacent. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm in church. I'm serving. I'm doing this. And are you manifesting Jesus Christ perfectly yet? Huh? I know I got a long way to go.
Amen.
I thought you'd say amen. You could have been legitimate. I got a long way to go. By the way, so do you.
Amen.
Praise God for what he's done for you. If you're saved this morning, bless the name of your Savior. The distance. Can you just take a moment. Consider the distance that God has brought you. Can you remember? I said a little while ago, I've been saved for 45 years. You wouldn't have liked, you might not like this guy now, but you surely wouldn't have liked that guy then. God's brought me a great distance. But I don't want to get satisfied with where I am today. I want to keep learning and immersing myself in this book and learning more and more. Learning about, you know what I'm going to say about apple pie here. Learning about Jesus and the things of God's like apple pie. The first piece tastes like what? More. Just makes you want more. And the more we learn, the more we'll love him, the more we'll be enamored with him, the more he will amaze us, and the more we'll want to know. And the more we know, the more we want to be like him. Oh, yes. Now, let me close with just a couple statements. Dad, you can be a lot of good things for your family. You can be a lot of good things. You can be provider. You can be protector. But the greatest thing that you can be for your family is to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please just remember, if you go out of here, don't remember a thing, just remember that. That I want to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ for my family. And listen to this. As we consistently manifest Christ, it's Father's Day. As we consistently manifest the Lord Jesus Christ to our children, by our life, by our words, when that opportunity comes to share the gospel with them, and you hear, listen, that when that opportunity comes to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, they'll listen to you. They'll listen to you if they can see Jesus in you. Because why would they want Jesus that you're talking about if he hasn't done anything for you?
Right.
But if they can see Jesus, if they can see that Jesus Christ did something for you, that he, yes, saved you, and what goes with it? Changed you. Made you that new creature in himself. That's something they'll want to hear about. Because they seen him at work in your life. In your life. Wow. I don't know. I don't know hearts. I don't know lives here. But it may be you're here today. Might be there's some here. Might be some dads here that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We've been talking about him all the way through. He came into this earth planet to die for you. To lay down his life, shed his blood to pay the price of your sin. Do you know him? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Beyond the dads, moms, young people, do you know him? Nothing else matters. I'm so thankful that we're able to be back together at churches, even putting up with the blue tapes better than talking to empty chairs. Please let the Lord speak to your heart. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before you. And I thank you. I believe we all thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love, his grace, his mercy. Oh, Lord, all that we've seen of him today. I pray, Father, help this man, help me. Pray you'd help every father in this building. Pray you'd help every individual, every person within these walls. Maybe some that are even listening via the internet. Lord, please help us. Deal with our hearts. Lord, I'm praying in Jesus' name that they peel it all away, Lord, and help us to love you with everything within us. That you would be our life. And Lord, again, we commit this service, we commit this invitation to you. Do what you'd be pleased to do for your glory, for your honor, and for the good of precious, precious souls throughout this auditorium. Lord, we love you. And even at that, we understand we love you because you first loved us. So we ask this, we pray it in the name of our Savior. Amen. And amen. Brother John.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way.
Those last words there, how far will you go with him? That's a question, isn't it? Most of the time, we'll go as far as is convenient for us.
Amen.
I'll go with you, Jesus, as long as it's convenient for me, comfortable for me. Oh my, that we be able to sing, we be able to declare, we be able to speak truth, to say, I'll go with you all the way. All the way. Amen. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to be looking at some individuals that did go all the way with Jesus. So you can be back in your place tonight. Lord, help us. Brother John, come.
Let's sing our chorus, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
You're dismissed.